Today is Tuesday, July 17th, and I'm gonna blog. I have some things on my mind. So last night I was thinking about Jesus, and I was thinking about Jesus and suffering, you know, because in Romans 8 it tells us that we are to share in Christ's sufferings. Like it says, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. And it's saying that in order to, you know, serve Christ, we have to share in his sufferings. And so I was laying in bed last night and I was just thinking about suffering in general, and I started thinking about Jesus' suffering. And I was thinking about, there's this one part of the Bible that always really gets me, and that's the part when Jesus is being crucified. He's basically being murdered. He's got, you know, he's got bolts in his hands that have been, you know, nailed into a piece of wood. He's being hung there. He's being persecuted. He's being mocked while he's in pain and he's hanging on a cross. And he's in deep pain and anguish. And then he looks down and there are men, soldiers, who are casting lots for his clothing, right? So he's sitting there, I mean, he's hanging there in deep pain and agony. And I mean, he's got a crown of thorns on his head. They're persecuting him and they're slandering him and they're mocking him. And they're just like the greatest amount of humiliation one could possibly ever, I think, experience or imagine, as far as humiliation and just being completely just hated and slandered. And then I just try to envision the amount of pain, like emotional distress and pain, to be hanging there being murdered while you look down and there's some soldiers who are gambling over your clothes, like who's gonna win this guy's clothes that he's being murdered right now. And the thing that just makes me like I just respect Jesus so much is that, I mean, and it just puts me in awe that he forgives them. Okay, so I as a human, you know, looking down while you're in deep agony and deep distress in pain, I can't even imagine the extent of the emotional pain and anguish he's feeling while he's being mocked, and you're a king of the Jews, ha ha ha, and they're mocking him and slandering him and hating him, and they're abusing this man, and he looks down and he forgives them. Okay, so when I go, oh my gosh, Jesus, you're Alpha, like master spirit, he's master teacher, I mean, out of anything you could possibly look at somebody and forgive them for doing, okay? Like these guys, these soldiers have no remorse. Like they're sitting there, this guy's being murdered and hanging in front of them, and they have no empathy. They have no remorse for him, and they're sitting there gambling away his clothes. And you think about that situation, about the amount of the extent of pain, and for him to forgive them, okay? I try to think about, like, when I'm suffering and I have to remind myself, okay, well, you're sharing in Christ's suffering, so this is expected. You can't be in this experience and serve Jesus Christ and not have to engage in suffering. You're not going to serve Jesus Christ and not be persecuted. You're not going to serve Jesus Christ and not be rejected. You're not going to serve Jesus Christ, like Jesus tells us in the Word, like this is all going to happen to you. So when you start feeling it and you're feeling pain, you have to go back to that idea, like I'm called to suffer, like this is expected, this is not a normal, right? And then so I'm driving to work this morning and I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about Jesus, and I'm thinking about that situation. That's like a highly, like that's like when I'm like Alpha, I want to just like praise him and just get like hands down, you are super Alpha. And I was thinking about it and I said, you know what? The only way I could see him, you know, at first last night, I'm like, well, you were the Son of God. So of course, you know, you have this, you know, you're Son of God. You can do that. But then I thought of it in a different perspective as I was driving to work. And I thought of it like this. Jesus, he was looking through the spiritual, he was looking through spiritual eyes and at that entire situation. He had to see, he had to remove himself from a human being and from seeing the situation in a carnal way. He had to look at the situation with a spiritual understanding in order to achieve and to do that. He had to say to himself, there was no way. He knew from the time that he came into the world, like, I mean, not when he was a baby, but he knew. He had a understanding in the Bible, even when he was younger, that he was the Lamb, that he was called to die, that he was going to die. He knew in the Bible, throughout the Bible, that he was going to be sacrificed, that he was going to eventually be killed. He knew that. And the Bible tells us that he knew that, that he was aware that he was the Lamb. He was going to come to die. So he knew that he was called to suffer. He was called to die. He was called to be the Lamb. He was called to be that sacrifice. And somebody, you know, everybody, when we get to the part of Judas, you know, Judas had to turn him into the soldiers. You have to think about it in the context of somebody had to play Judas. Okay? Like, somebody had to play Judas in the Bible. Somebody had to turn Jesus in. Somebody was called to play Judas. Like, we would not be able to have access to God. We would not be able to be forgiven of our sins had somebody not played Judas. As much as we all hate Judas, you know, because Judas turned in Jesus and Jesus got crucified, somebody had to play that role. Somebody had to play Judas. So if somebody had to play Judas, I think that when Jesus was on that cross and he was dying and he looks down and these people, these soldiers who lack no empathy whatsoever, they have no human remorse for him. They're sitting there gambling away his clothes while he's in deep pain and agony, and he forgives them. Jesus had to remove himself. He was looking through a spiritual perspective of that situation. He knew that he was called to suffer, that somebody had to play Judas, and that he had to suffer and that he had to die. Like, there was no way around that situation. And when you see things in that perspective, like in Romans 8, it talks about those who see carnal, and it says to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. He has not given us a spirit of fear, spirit of captivity to fall back into fear. He has given us a spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. When we do that, our spirit is bearing witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. And it's talking about being able to see with a spiritual perspective versus a carnal perspective. Because if you see carnally minded, that's called, like, you know, in the Bible, they call people who are carnally minded dead. They're dead. Like, they don't see the spiritual side of the situation. They don't see spiritually minded. They see everything in a carnal sense. Like, you can't understand why somebody would, give up or do certain things or step out in acts of faith if you're not spiritually minded. If you're not spiritually minded and you think carnally, then you think, oh, that person's going to get in trouble. Or, oh, that person, you know, they're crazy. Like, what's wrong with that? Because you're carnally minded. You see in a carnal, human, carnal sense. You do not see spiritually. You do not have the faith or the belief or the capacity at that moment to see why someone would act spiritually minded. Spiritually minded people, to carnally minded people, are crazy. You're crazy. Because the carnal mind cannot comprehend the spiritual mind. It can't understand why someone would put their faith in God, why someone would do what God's telling them to do. So the carnal minded in the Bible are called dead bones. They're dead bones because they don't see. They don't see. They're being blinded and deceived by Satan, and they don't see the spiritual side of the situation. They don't see it. So it's spiritually minded in Romans chapter 8. And versus the carnal mind. So I was just thinking about that, and I was just thinking about Jesus, and I was thinking about how Jesus was able to get through that situation, and the way that he perceived that situation was spiritually minded. Like, I'm called to suffer. Somebody has to play Judas. Somebody has to get me through this suffering. Somebody, I have to pay this price. Somebody had to whip him. Somebody had to put the stripes on his back. Somebody had to do that. It was something that God had set up. It was something that had to be done. It was, and so, like, when you think about suffering in general, like, somebody has to, give you suffering. Somebody has to be the bearer of that suffering. Somebody has to inflict you with emotional suffering because we're called to suffer. So it has to happen. And if you see it in a spiritually minded way, like, you know, if you see it and you view the suffering in a spiritual capacity, you're better able to deal with it because you understand the spiritual principle behind it. It says in Romans 8, we have to suffer. We're called to suffer. We have to share in Christ's suffering. So if we have to share in Christ's sufferings, that means we need to be slandered. We need to be rejected. We need to be put through, you know, intense amounts of emotional pain in order to reach that requirement. We have to reach that requirement. So it's basically taking yourself out of a carnal way of processing the situation and looking it into a spiritual context.